Good morning. You may be seated. That was fun to have a little piano right there. Belonging is a powerful thing. Yesterday, the public elementary school my two sons attend in Oakland held their annual spring fling event. And it's an event. The social club grills burgers. The PTA passes out Italian ice. One local realtor gave away cups of fancy lemonade, while another local realtor splurged on a giant 40-foot long bouncy house. I appreciate the generosity of the realtors among us. But the real moment of truth, the real moment of fun, came on the kickball field. At noon, a bunch of second and third grade students, including my younger son, gathered on the field for a little kids v. parents kickball game. And y'all, it got real. It got intense. We had big kicks. We had little kicks. We had slide tackles into first base and wild circular chases around the baseball diamond to tag a player out. We had shouts of joy, and we had chants, mostly from the children, and mostly about the supposed smelliness of the grown-ups. But we also had a few tears when an out didn't really seem like it was an out, but really, actually, it was an out. We had wild runs across the blacktop that made me wonder if my knee was going to give out. And we had home runs that made the surrounding crowds of parents and children go wild. But mostly we had belonging, because belonging is a powerful thing. Contrary to popular opinion, I am not actually a star on the kickball field. Even though I've heard a lot of stories about kickball at lunch recess, I've not actually played since my own elementary school days. But when the parents needed a few more bodies and my own kid begged me to just do it already, Mama, just play kickball, I had to say yes. And in this yes, I experienced belonging. I was reminded of what it feels like to be part of something bigger than myself, to feel the power of a high five and a fist bump, to genuinely be for another person because you're part of that place, part of those people, because you've found your home. I tell you this story because belonging stuck out like a sore thumb to me in this week's readings. Here we see how love folds us in when the Apostle John drops some version of the word love 29 times in 14 verses. All this wild love in relation to belonging to the God who loves, who dares us to do the same. We saw this in the passage from John 15. When it's all about fruitfulness and intimacy and love once again of God and of belonging to this God in the same way the grape branches belong to the vine. And then there's this passage in Acts which rains down belonging like a waterfall. Here the one who had been on the outside looking in, the black man, the queer man, the one who had not been free to practice his faith in the temple is given belonging through the death and resurrection of another man, Jesus. And I think his experience of belonging has something to teach us today. I'll be honest, though, when I initially saw that the passage in Acts was one of the readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter, I wanted to run away fast, like run to first base on the kickball field fast. I grew up in the evangelical tradition, and even though I now call the Episcopal Church home, this passage was often used as one that pointed toward conversion, as an example of what we were supposed to do when it came to leading other people to Christ, in how we should always be ready at the drop of a hat to have an answer for any question we were asked. The passage was often promoted as a one-way conversion story of one man, Philip the Evangelist, converting another man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a sinner, to the Christian tradition. As one writer similarly points out, the lesson I took away from the story is that I, too, should share the good news of Jesus as boldly as I can so that unacceptable sinners, outsiders, might change and become acceptable insiders. The good news is that this is not the only way to read this passage. Because if belonging is the noun, the real fleshy thing we are leaning into today, then belonging cannot be one-sided. Belonging, whether to a place or a people, to a faith or a kickball game on the elementary school blacktop, has to be mutual. There has to be something or someone or some place to belong to, for belonging is a two-way street. In these 14 verses we see in Acts, Philip certainly takes center stage for much of the passage. An angel tells him to get up and go, to walk toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The names of two cities we've heard quite a bit in the last 8 months. It is Philip that the Spirit directs to go over to the Ethiopian eunuch's carriage. Philip who asks a man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" It is easy to elevate Philip to the role of protagonist, to believe he is the one who holds power, and the eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord, the angel, mere secondary characters. The eunuch is good at asking questions about the man named Jesus, the one who lived and died and lived again. That much John records. To me, the ultimate moment of belonging comes when the two men who were sitting side by side in a swanky chariot traveling down the road happen upon some water. "Look, here is water," says the eunuch. "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And Philip says nothing in response. Philip says nothing in response because there is nothing to say in response. There is nothing to prevent him from being baptized. He already has belonging. He already belongs. I love the resounding silence that follows the eunuch's question, writer Debbie Thomas says of this moment. Because silence speaks what words cannot. The silence is thundering and gorgeous and seismic and right. Because the answer to this question is silence. The answer, the only answer, is nothing. In the post-resurrection world we find ourselves in now, in the world where the Spirit of God moves where and how she will, drawing in all of creation to herself, in the world where the Word lives to defeat death, alienation, isolation, and fear, there is nothing to prevent a beloved image bearer of God from entering into the fullness of Christ's salvation. Nothing whatsoever. You, image bearer of God. That's what this story, this account, this passage is about. The unquestionable belonging that can't not happen under the umbrella of God's love. What is to prevent us then from belonging to God's family? Nothing. Nothing is going to prevent me from belonging. You're in, we're in, you are welcome here in this place. You're in. You're welcome in these doors, and you're welcome at this table, and you're welcome with these people. You are welcome here, for you belong. You are home. What then might our invitation be today? Cling to this belonging. Relish in this belonging. Be changed and freed and morphed by this belonging. Let this belonging go before you. As you greet one another in a few minutes and as you leave these doors a little while longer, let this belonging guide you as you walk your dog in the afternoon and as you stop and pause for tomatoes in the grocery store. Let this belonging filter into the fleshy depths of your insides, of your being, as you work, as you play, as you go throughout your day. Let this belonging remind you that you are home. For you are. You, child of God, belong. Amen.
Amen.